The Lord is calling us to cleanliness of soul, dear heart dwellers. He's calling us in this hour because great opportunity lies before us, and Satan is working overtime to deprive us of each other. Marriages are under attack. Relationships are under attack, and a spirit of division is working to break holy and supportive relationships. How sad to have a marriage end at this time when the world is on the brink of chaos. That he's doing it to isolate, kill, steal, and destroy. And tonight the Lord is warning us of the forces actively working against us right now. I felt led to have a communion service and intercession tonight rather than worship, because the world situation was very heavy on my heart. The thought came to me to be praying that key people, the ones who are to push the buttons, will suddenly be hit with a strong conviction not to do it, or be prevented by circumstances from carrying through. And during prayers, the Lord opened his heart to me, and it was a furnace burning with intensity so great I could barely look upon it. So when I came into prayer, I told him, "Here I am, Lord, but I dearly miss our sweet connection." He answered, "And you know why I am withholding it, right? Because I've been bad? Claire, you know better than that. I just wanted to be sure, Jesus, I miss your sweet embrace. You have seen the raging flames in my heart, beloved. For now, that must be enough. I'm limping, Lord, full of voices that condemn me and call me lukewarm. Am I lukewarm? I don't feel the passion. If I judged a soul's devotion by their feelings, I'd have nothing to go by but a vapor. What I go by is obedience, and you are lacking in that area, not out of choice, but out of opposition. So I want you to push through and do as I ask in every circumstance. I know I don't deserve a hug, but Jesus, how can I keep going without that touch? Obedience. Prove to me your love, Claire, and continue on without the fire. Continue on when you're tired, discouraged, wavering. Oh, you and Peter have so much in common," he smiled. "Claire, you know I love you. You know you are irreplaceable to me. Please don't let me down. Fight the good fight even when some are against you. Don't let it get to you. Move beyond it. I know how painful that is, but you must push through. You are still limping from the wounds of those whose hearts are not with you. But you must keep going. If I let that stop me, I never would have made it to the cross, and you never could have had an opportunity to be in heaven with me. Betrayals come and go. People come and go, assuming different pretexts, but many cannot be true to themselves, let alone anyone else. I couldn't let that stop me. Come here, child." At that point, I broke down crying on his chest, and he held me tightly to his heart. "Oh, Jesus, please take this pain away. Will you not carry what little is left of it for me and for souls who are about to die unsaved?" A tear came running down my cheek, and he gathered it into a golden bottle that was almost full. "Just a few more tears," he said, "and you will be home with me. Don't let anyone discourage or stop you. I have given you the courage of a lioness. Do not let insincere souls cripple you. All that is hidden shall be brought to the light. I am a God of justice and holiness. But for now, I ask you to carry this cross. Besides, you preach it so well. Can you not live it?" "With your strength, yes. You must get up, shake off the dust, and go on. You must." "Okay, I didn't think it went that deep. I thought I was over it." "Oh, it went deep enough to take the wind out of your sails, which was Satan's plan. But now you must rise up. Look at all these smiling faces cheering you on. Just keep going, 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 he said playfully, just like when Dory got Goofy in the movie Nemo and said, just keep swimming, 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 just keep swimming. He began again. Now I will address all of you, my brides. The spirit of division is afoot among you. This spirit has many others working under it. The purpose is to divide those who were of good nature towards each other, whether it be husband and wife, sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, employees or employer. The idea is to bring the relationship to a crippling halt, to break it and render it non-effective and non-supportive. This is no time for giving in to the suggestions of the enemy. Do you understand? You are being used if you give in to the underhanded tactics, retaliation, pride, and one-upmanship. You have not known yourselves, nor have you known what is good and right if you do such things. Your survival depends on the ones around you. When you hurt them, you hurt and injure yourselves. I put you together in relationships to strengthen one another. When you injure each other, you injure yourself seriously. Every injury renders you incapacitated in some regard. What you do to another is far more injurious to yourself, revealing your lack of charity and love. Relationships are a sacred trust. When souls have the courage to open up to one another and trust one another, there is established a sacred trust, and it's your duty to protect that person to the best of your ability and refuse to hurt them. You only do harm to yourself in the long run. I will make up the damage done to others, but unless you repent, you are in jeopardy, because you have lowered and weakened yourself by giving in to the suggestions of the enemy. Satan begins with little betrayals, little dishonesties, and proceeds to bigger and bigger ones. If you give in to the first little one, he will lead you into another, and another, and another, until you're walking all twisted and deformed. That is why the demons are so ugly. Their appearance in the spirit reflects the ugliness of their deeds. After centuries of evil, they have become hideously deformed. If you react to others rather than forgiving them, you too become deformed. This is why I died on the cross, that all deformities could be healed and forgiven once the soul made up their mind to come to me and repent. If you give in to evil impulses when they are small, you will become weaker, and the next occasion is easier for you to justify doing what is wrong. If you resist evil suggestions at the onset, you become stronger. The decision to grow in beauty and holiness or shrivel up into ugliness and evil is entirely up to you. I warn you in your conscience not to do something, because I know how it will affect you as well as others. And my heart is for you to be holy. When you connect with evil, you partner with demons, and they continue to lead you into wickedness until you're beyond repentance and destined for hell. You object and say to me, oh no, never me. I'm not going to hell. I'm a good person after all. You may have been good at some point, although good does not guarantee salvation. But when you first decided to compromise with the truth and go against your conscience, where I advise you, you turned and started downwards. It matters not how many times you've been hurt by others. When you retaliate, you become like them and lose your light. Salt that has lost its savor is good for nothing but throwing out onto the ground to be trampled. You have lost your place in my kingdom when you choose evil. It starts very small. A little compromise here, a little more there. The soul becomes hardened and does not recoil at the thought of evil, but embraces it, first reluctantly, then eagerly. There may be qualms at the beginning, but as you choose evil over good, the qualms become weaker and weaker, and your warning system is disabled. So more and more you justify and choose the evil path, and your heart becomes hardened. I created you in beauty and innocence, but you can lose it by your own free will choices. I can restore it to you with a good and genuine confession of evil, accompanied by deep contrition. But if you are beyond the point of wanting to be holy before me, you are headed for great sorrows and disappointments. I will not choose to use a vessel that was unto honor, but now has chosen to cover their sins and keep going. And he quickened to me Ezekiel 33:17-20, the message of a watchman. The way of the Lord is not right, they say, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live. After reading that, I said to the Lord, when you reprove me with this scripture, Lord, I tremble. And well, you should. I'm warning you that you have set off on the path of destruction and to turn back before it's too late. Do not take these admonitions as punishment, my precious ones. Please do not. Rather, take them as instruction that, if followed, will lead to life, and life more abundantly. Each of you has much to lose when you depart from the right way. These are the last moments of the end times, and there is no more time to toy with compromise and sin. At any moment your life could end. Then you will stand before me either clean or dirty. I hold your lives in the palm of my hand. I sustain your lives with my love, and I would rather see your life end than watch you proceed down paths of iniquity and lose your soul. It is one thing to lose your calling, and quite another to lose your soul. If I see that you have crusted over your heart and conscience, I may very well take you to preserve your soul. So now we are too close to the end for any more deception and dishonesty, especially dishonesty with yourself. Recognize well the frailty of your souls and strengthen what remains, for the temptations of these times are beyond anything you've ever faced in your life. That reminds me, guys, of CERN and how CERN has opened up that portal to the demons. And we've seen thousands of demons flooding in because of those open portals. And things have gotten a lot tougher in the last 6 months. The Lord continued, right now there is great opportunity for advancement in my kingdom. And to counter that, there are also great opportunities for a fall. If you have fallen, come to me. I love and embrace you. Confess your sin. Let me hold you and make your scarlet soul as white as snow. Let me restore you to the lofty place you fell from. Let me return to you the shining beauty of your soul and the plans I had for you in my kingdom. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. That's Proverbs 28:13-14. And how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's Psalm 32:1. All are vulnerable to falling. The greatest sin is the lack of repentance, thinking, I did not see what you did, and no one else will ever know. That is the height of foolishness. So come to me, repentant, and I will restore you and strengthen your resolve to go and sin no more. I say this because I love you with a love you will never fully understand on earth. No one has ever loved you as I do. Come to me, and I will restore you. And that was the end of his message. Well, dear family, as I ended this message, I thought, gee, this is not a very positive message. Was this really a word from Jesus or my own flesh talking? I mean, I was really concerned. And I went into the kitchen to make one of those microwave box Chinese dinners. And after it cooked, I opened it, and the carrot that I used for this illustration was right on top. The most perfect orange heart I've ever seen. The Lord sent me a confirmation. And just then I heard him say, this message was from me, not from your own mind. So, guys, let's all take it to heart. Check our consciences and repent before him if we've done any of these things. And I know I have some repenting to do. The Lord bless you all. He's coming really soon. Please let's be ready.